to Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. Put your finger on verse 1. We're going to start right there. And I want to share with you this morning from the Word of God upon the subject of the idea. Let us not fight against God. We get in a fight with the Lord, and who's going to win? The Lord's going to win. Why? Because he's got remnants over all of us, and what we have in our hearts and our lives. But I want to take a little different twist than what it is. As we're preparing for our group to go from the church to Peru and sharing that time there, everything I see about that, I see that a lot of the ministry that they're going to do the days that they're there, you're going to be dealing with children, right? And I went over last Sunday night, and after we finished here, and they were busy over there making little bracelets and doing little things, preparing, getting ready to make that trip and to tell those little kids about Jesus. And I don't think sometimes we really appreciate the value of a child and what God can do through the life of a child. And we're going to touch on some of that this morning as we deal with this and what the Lord has laid out for us, you know. And I look, you know, in the month of May there, we're going to do a lot of different things. A couple of those things is we're going to congratulate our seniors and we're going to dedicate our babies, our little children. Whoever it was that mom and dad wanted to bring before the Lord and have them dedicated and stuff. A lot to do in our church the last year and a half or so that has had to do with our children. And the blessing that God has blessed our adults from the work that you've done with our children. Paul is beginning his ministry. And he's about his father's business. And it was a dramatic experience for him to be converted to begin with, because he is on the road to Damascus to go down to Damascus and terrorize the church, burn it down, carry the people back, put them in prison and stuff. And so Paul got such a following and was making such an impact on the lives of so many people that, like in any other case, they tried to find fault with him to get rid of him, stop this that was taking place, and get it back to where the scribes and the Pharisees didn't have to worry about competition for them, and Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees did, and they had their differences, you know. And it kind of reminds me of the Democrats and Republicans today, kind of split right down the middle, you know. And there ain't no changing either side, and that's the way I've seen this. And he said here, he said, and Paul, earnestly beholding the council, he's being brought before the council. And if you backed up in chapter 22 and look at verse 22, I want to read that for you. It said, they gave him an audience unto this word, and then lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. What did they think of Paul? Didn't have a very high opinion, did he? For a man that has had God's hand upon his life, chosen out to carry the gospel to a lost and dying Gentile world out there. Peter was chosen to carry it to a lost world out there of the Jews. And so they bring him, Paul, before the council. They're trying to find a way to find enough to do away with him. Said Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. Ever since his conversion up to this time, he said, I have lived in good conscience before God. Now watch what happens for him making that statement. And the high priest, Ananias, commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Shut him up. And he was bragging about how he has earnestly beheld the Lord in all good conscience. So they smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto them, God shall smite thee, thou whitest wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? What do you mean? Hitting me, thou whitest wall or whitewash? If you look that up in the Greek and the Hebrew there, to be whitewashed means to be a hypocrite. And their actions and what they're doing here. And he said, why do you hit me? They that stood by said, revilest thou God, high priest? You gonna come up against the high priest? Then Paul said, well, I didn't know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the rulers of thy people. Now, wasn't it a shame for them folks to bring him before the council, and the high priest ordered him to be smitten, hit in the mouth, and then the charges to be brought against the Paul there, and said, didn't you know better than to hit the high priest? You didn't have no respect for him, you know? And he said, but folks, I didn't even know, brethren, that he was the high priest. Wouldn't it be a shame that people not be able to recognize God's person that he has placed in situations and circumstances? He said, if I had knew he was the high priest, I would have knew the scripture says, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of the people. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out into the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called into question. The reason you have me here before the council is because these Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. They don't want no part in that. And he said, when he said so, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Boy, I'd love to have been in on that business meeting, you know. Sitting before that council, watching that go on here, tit for tat. This one says something, that one, back and forth. When he said so, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees said there was no resurrection, neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees confessed both. What had Jesus just done? He had already paid him a visit, hadn't he? The previous chapter, when you went back over there just before we read that verse a while ago, and the things, he woke him up, the angel did, told him to get out of town. They will not receive your testimony. Verse 21, he said, depart, for I will send thee far whence from the Gentiles. And in a few moments, he's going to tell him what to do concerning his life. All right, all this dissension, all this hurt. He's sitting there with a busted lip, being persecuted. He cries out, I'm a Pharisee. I'm the son of a Pharisee. He had the bloodline. He said, there was a great crowd that said, we find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel have spoken to him, let us not fight against God. All right? All the Pharisees cried out. When Jesus confessed to be a Pharisee. Now, get that picture again. When he looked at that council was made up of what? One side was the Pharisees. The other side was what? Sadducees. That's right. And when he cried out, the Pharisees, I knew it. He's one of us. You know, and they began to say, we find no fault in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. See, the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. They believed in the spirits. They believed in angels. All these things the Sadducees did not believe in. And so therefore, this is verification for them that what they believe. And I tell you all the time, when I run up a stump and don't understand something and I find out later in the scripture what I thought concerning it was right, it's what kind of time?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah time, that's right. This was a hallelujah time for the Pharisees. Verse 10 said that when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled into pieces by them, he commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. Go get the man. They're upset. There's going to be a riot in the streets. Get him inside the castle where he's safe, or they're going to tear him to pieces. Why? What had Paul done? All he had proclaimed was what? Christ, him crucified and resurrected. He shared his testimony, how he was struck blind on the road to Damascus, how the Lord had used Ananias to tell him what he wanted him to do. Look at verse 11. He said, the night following, they brought him into the castle. The Lord stood by him. Wasn't an angel, wasn't a spirit, wasn't a vision, a dream, or anything like that. Who's standing beside him? The Lord. And here's what he said to him. Paul, be of good cheer. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. You got a journey ahead of you, Paul. He's sending you down to Rome to tell the Romans the good news of Jesus Christ, to share that gospel with them. All of you that are going on the Peru trip, hear my heart when I say to you, you got a trip ahead of you. Not just to go to Peru on a visit, but to carry that gospel to that lost and dying world down there that needs to hear about Jesus. Have you heard the Macedonian call? Have you heard Jesus as he said to him, be of good cheer, for as thou hast testified of me in Bexley, I want you to go to Peru. And let's tell the people in Peru. Let's show them our love concerning this. But to go to Rome, how in the world was he going to get to Rome? We learn later how he got there. By the grace of God, he got there. He went through all kinds of troubles, all kinds of problems, all kinds of needs. You know, shipwrecked, rode floated in on a board, you know, bitten by a serpent, you know, slung it off and couldn't even tell he'd been bitten. When it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse. I want you to hear how ridiculous they got, how so determined they were they was going to have their way. It said the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat or drink till they'd kill Paul. If you translated that in the way we say it today, we'd say something like, I ain't going to rest till I get this worked out. Something's going to have to happen. 40 of these individuals joined in with this curse and said, we're not going to eat, we're not going to drink till we have killed this Paul. Now, therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though he would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. And we, or ever he who comes near, will be ready to kill him. They devised a plan, and they'd said to them as on the council that they wanted to signify to the chief priest here to bring him down in the morning. Where's he at now? The priest saw that he could tear him asunder, he was going to tear him apart. So he had him brought inside the castle, remember? He's there in the safety. He's on house arrest. He's got some privileges and stuff. But God's at work. He's got a plan that he's working on. Watch what happens here. You require of him to bring him down. We'll be ready. We'll take it from there. We are going to kill him. Verse 16 says that when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Here's a young lad, probably, and if you don't realize it or not, this is the only place in Scripture you'll ever hear or see anything concerning Paul's family whatsoever. But the scripture says here, when Paul's sister heard of their lying in wait, when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. This young man, just a child, overhears the plot to kill his Uncle Paul. He didn't go running back home and tell Mama. What'd he do? He went straight to the horse's mouth. Very good, Brother Ernie. He went in, he went to Paul, and he told him what was being plotted. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he have a certain thing to tell you. You know, these centurions had already been gracious to Paul. He had developed a relationship with him. So he had the freedom here to ask him, you know, to allow this young man to go unto the chief captain, straight to the horse's mouth, and tell him some certain things. So he took him and brought him to the chief captains and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee. Now listen to me. This lad, this young man, is going to go before the chief priest. That ain't like going to see some. He's going to the very top, going to the very powers to be, and tell them what he has heard and witnessed out of these scribes and Pharisees, these 40 men, their plot that they have in their lives. You don't ever know what God's up to in the life of his people. Who would have ever thought? Usually in a situation like that, we'd have to do what? Get some higher up. Get somebody that had a little bit of clout to be able to get in to see the chief priest. But Paul called these centurions in there, said, take this nephew of mine. He's got somewhat to say unto the chief priest. Carry him in. Give him an audience. And they did so. He took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee who has something to say unto thee. Those of you going on the trip, have you rehearsed what you have to say on behalf of the Lord? Greatest witness you got is your testimony, what God's done for you. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is that thou hast to tell me? He didn't let him spill it all out right in front of the council and stuff. He took him to the side, asked him, what is it thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldest bring down Paul tomorrow into the council, as though thou would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for they lie in wait for him more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, see thou tell no man that thou has showed these things to me. A young lad, can you imagine what might have happened in the life of Paul if this young man had not acted as he did in his life? I had to go back some. I had to look a little deeper. When Paul was on the road to Damascus, he was not saved. He was a persecutor of anything to do with Christ whatsoever and stuff. All right. The Lord dealt with him, but it doesn't show us anything about him going back home, does it? From that time forward, God moved him where? Told him to go into the city, to go to the street called Straight, you know, and he'd find him, prepared for him, took care of him, got him baptized, sent him outside the city because the turmoil that was there and stuff, began his ministry and stuff. But I can't find anything in the scripture where he went back home, get him some more clothes, tell his wife or tell his mom and dad, or, yeah, he didn't even have a wife. Tell his mom and dad. Whoever, by. First time I've heard anything about a sister. And she having a son, a nephew. But you know, we don't ever know who, what, or where God's going to work in our midst. Or who he's going to work through in our midst, in our lives. So it behooves us to do what? Pay attention. You know, don't just shove those children away. You know, there may be one of God's anointed there. Amen. Here, that God's got his hand on it, got his prepared for. And that child might not know it yet, but after our visit of being there, he may have a better understanding of what God's doing in their lives, what's happening. That little feller One of two things. He had to love his Uncle Paul and what little he knew about him, you know, enough that he would go backwards and forwards. He had free reign. Paul did, even though he was under house arrest and stuff. He could have visitors. He could go and do and be. And I just imagine that it's Paul's sister. She'd fix his favorite meal, fry him some chicken or make him some pork chops or do something, you know, give him to that little feller. And he'd back out, boogity boogity, where was he going? To Uncle Paul. Uncle Paul. One day he's waiting to get in that castle. And he heard these 40 men out here make a vow to one another. We ain't gonna eat, and we ain't gonna drink till he's dead. That's pretty straightforward, wouldn't you think so? Think about this little fella over here. If he's 12, 14, 15 years old, whatever he is, you know. He said, did you hear that? They're going to kill my Uncle Paul? I don't think so. He didn't run back home and say, Mama, 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 you know what I heard today? That ain't what he did. He went inside, didn't he? To his Uncle Paul, and he told his Uncle Paul. He called over them centurions. They busted that plot up. But if that child had not been used of God, we would have never had a Paul. Because those 40 men would have prevailed in killing him. Because they had made up their mind what they want to do. Now let me tell you something. Satan has made up his mind. And if there's anything he would love more than destroying this troop to Peru, I don't know what it is right now. Because he don't want that gospel to reach the world. You know, the world's already on his team. What he wants is to stop the movement of God. Oh, what did the Pharisees have that the Sadducees missed? They believed in a resurrection. They believed in angels. They believed in the spirits. They believed in visions. They believed in Pharisees, and the Sadducees believed what? A bunch of bull. I don't believe none of it. They're hard enough. My question to us this morning, what do we believe? What do we believe? Do we truly believe, as that little lad did, in Jesus as being the Son of God? What he did, how he worked through his uncle's life, all the things that he heard. If we're going to move forward, we got to make sure that we're in sync with the Lord. It's what he wants, not what we want in our lives. Let's pray. Father, I come to you this morning. I'm just overwhelmed, Lord, by the faith of that little boy. A lot of times we push children away and we just have our grown-up world and we don't include them in what's happening in their world. God may be trying to work through the lives of those individuals. We got a lot of our youth that's going, our children's going on this trip. And I just pray, God, that in a powerful, mighty way you'll reveal yourself, that they can clearly see and know who you are and the plan you have for their lives. God will give you the glory. There's a need in any life here this morning. I pray we'd speak to that need. God, you'd deal with each and every one of us. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing, Brother Ernie.